Welcome to worship. We are preaching this summer on the story of Elijah as found in 1 and 2 Kings. What follows is worship on part 5 of that story. If you haven't been following this series on Elijah, you can certainly catch up on our website, but each worship service also stands independently, and so we hope that you will be blessed by today's worship service. The Zoom Room prayer schedule for July 12th, Sunday, July 12th, is as follows. We will have communion from 11 to 11:15. So if you would like to receive communion, please enter the Zoom prayer room at 11 o'clock and have your communion elements of bread and either wine or grape juice ready. We will have a time of fellowship from 11:15 to 11:30, so if you don't want to receive communion, you can still join us for fellowship, or you can stay the whole time. From 11:30 to 12, we have an informal time of talking about the scripture for the day and the sermon of the day and how we hear these things relating to our own lives. So you're invited to that sermon talk back to at 11:30. Welcome to worship. We hope you're blessed today. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you.
Worship and Praise 59, Holy Ground. Words and music by Jaron Davies.
Let us pray. God, our refuge and hope, when race, status, or gender divide us, when despondency and despair haunt and afflict us, when community lies shattered, comfort and convict us with the stillness of your presence, that we may confess all you have done through Christ, to whom we belong, and in whom we are one. Amen.
A reading from the Gospel of Matthew, the 4th chapter, verses 1 to 11. The Temptation of Jesus. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. He fasted 40 days and 40 nights, and afterwards he was famished. The tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." But he answered, "It is written, 'One does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God.'" Then the devil took him to the holy city and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, 'He will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, so that you will not dash your foot against a stone.'" Jesus said to him, "Again it is written, 'Do not put the Lord your God to the test.'" Again the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. And he said to him, "All these I will give you if you will fall down and worship me." Jesus said to him, "Away with you, Satan, for it is written, 'Worship the Lord your God and serve only him.'" Then the devil left him, and suddenly angels came and waited on him.
ELW 778, The Lord's My Shepherd. 7:2, Hallelujah.
A reading from 1 Kings, beginning in chapter 18 at verse 45. God strengthened Elijah mightily. Pulling up his robe and tying it around his waist, Elijah ran in front of Ahab's chariot until they reached Jezreel. Ahab reported to Jezebel everything that Elijah had done, including the massacre of the prophets. Jezebel immediately sent a messenger to Elijah with her threat. The gods will get you for this, and I'll get even with you. By this time tomorrow, you'll be as dead as any one of those prophets. When Elijah saw how things were, he ran for dear life to Beersheba, far in the south of Judah. He left his young servant there, and then went on into the desert another day's journey. He came to a lone broom bush and collapsed in its shade, wanting in the worst way to be done with it all. To just die. Enough of this, God. Take my life. I am ready to join my ancestors in the grave. Exhausted, he fell asleep under the lone broom bush. Suddenly, an angel shook him awake and said, "Get up and eat." He looked around, and to his surprise, right by his head were a loaf of bread baked on some coals and a jug of water. He ate the meal and went back to sleep. The angel of God came back, shook him awake again, and said, "Get up and eat some more. You've got a long journey ahead of you." He got up, ate and drank his fill, and set out. Nourished by that meal, he walked 40 days and nights, all the way to the mountain of God, to Horeb. When he got there, he crawled into a cave and went to sleep. Word of God. Word of life. Elijah was terrified. And why not? He had been the witness of some pretty awesome things. He had seen God's power and fire rain down from the sky and clean up his sacrifice. He had witnessed God ordering the destruction of 450 prophets and seen that carried out. And then, I don't know what he was expecting, but he was running ahead of Ahab's chariot as Ahab went to tell Jezebel about these things. Presumably, Ahab has come to believe in the one true God, and that's why Elijah is with him, and perhaps they're going in celebration to tell Jezebel that they have found the one true God. But of course, when Ahab tells Jezebel the news, she is not a happy camper. She threatens Elijah's life, and she has the power to carry that out. She is, after all, the queen. And so Elijah seemingly forgets everything that he has just experienced, everything he has just witnessed. Don't forget that God had been taking care of him by Wadi Cherith, the ravens bringing him bread and meat, and the brook there sustaining him. And then God sent him to Zarephath, where a widow had an unending jar of meal and an unending flask of oil. And so for 3 years, Elijah had been sustained during a time of drought by God's provision. God had arranged this glorious display of God's power and identity in front of the king. I can only presume that the king was converted, and when they tell the queen, she freaks out, and apparently Elijah forgets all of God's provision. Elijah forgets all of that display of God's power, of God's sovereignty, of God's ability even to convert the king, and he becomes afraid of a woman. Well, isn't that just the way with human beings? Isn't that the way with us, that we're terrified by the things that most immediately pose a threat to us? Elijah, in this case, doesn't even stick around to see if Ahab's gonna stop her or argue with her. He runs, and he runs far to the south of Judah, presumably until he can't run anymore, and then he falls down exhausted in the shade of a tree and begs God to take his life away. It is reassuring for us to hear God's prophet fall along the same lines that we fall. It's reassuring and comforting to know that the prophets experienced what we do, that fed upness, that exhaustion, that sense of not being able to accomplish what you want, and just throwing in the towel, throwing up your hands in the air and saying, I give up, I'm fed up, that's enough, take me now. But notice what happens in this story. Elijah kind of pitches this pity party, forgetting the awesome God of the universe, forgetting all the displays of God's power, majesty, and provision. Elijah runs from the situation as far as he can, as fast as he can, falls down in exhaustion and heat under the only tree he can find, and goes to sleep. And while Elijah is sleeping, God sends angels. Notice that Elijah hasn't asked for angels. Elijah hasn't asked for help, but God sends help anyway. And when the help has arrived in the way that Elijah most needs, the angel wakes Elijah up and says, eat, drink. Eat, drink, rest. And then God provides more bread, more water. And when that's ready, the angel wakes Elijah up again. Eat, drink. And now if you're going to keep running, the food that I've provided will sustain you on that journey. And the text tells us that Elijah went on the strength of that food for 40 days and 40 nights. In terms of the Bible, the number 40 means a really long time of spiritual testing. So you might remember from the first reading that Jesus was in the desert 40 days and 40 nights. That it rained 40 days and 40 nights when Noah was on the ark, that the Israelites wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. That number 40 means that it's a long time in a wilderness situation where there's spiritual testing, spiritual growth, and spiritual development happening. And so Elijah goes on the strength of God's provision for 40 days and for 40 nights until he comes to Mount Horeb, where he finds a cave, and there he spends the night. Perhaps we're on that journey, on that 40-day and 40-night journey, on the strength of the provision of the things that God has given us. Or perhaps we're under that broom tree, hot and exhausted, out of energy, out of ideas, fed up. Perhaps we're telling God that we're fed up. Perhaps we're telling God that we just don't know what to do anymore. We certainly don't know how things are going to end or where we're headed from here. Perhaps we're eating the food and drink of God's provision. Perhaps we have angels looking over us. Perhaps we've reached that cave at the end and we're resting in a quiet place. No matter where you are on your spiritual journey, what we can take from Elijah's story is that God has sending angels, whether we're asking for them or not, that God is preparing a way for us, that God is right there overseeing everything that's happening. God sees it. God knows it. And God knows you personally, right where you are, what your struggle is, what our struggles are communally, and that God is preparing provision. When our provision is ready, God will send the angel to metaphorically wake us up, to tell us to eat and drink. That's how the God of the universe works. Whatever it is we're anxious about, whatever it is we're fearing, God is in the process of providing, and God has angels watching over us. God is sending our provision. It's on the way. So take heart, people of God, from this story of Elijah. However you find yourself, wherever you find yourself, know that God is with you, that God is for you, that God is preparing a way for you, and that God is preparing the supplies, the provision that you'll need for your journey. There is bread, there is water, there is rest, there is strength for the journey, there's protection, and there are angels watching over all of us. Grace and peace be to you. From the God who is watching, the God who is preparing, and the God who is providing. Amen.
This is from Worship and Praise 160, with words and music by Michael Ledner. You are my hiding place.
The creeds of the church are public professions of faith. Mostly they're ancient, but we also find our faith and our belief resonating with modern creeds. And so we profess our faith in the words of the creed, God the Provider. The words are below.
We believe in the God who provides for our every need, who has an answer to our deepest questions and a purpose for us in life. Today we praise God, the provider. We believe in Jesus Christ, our holy brother, who stands by our side when light turns into darkness, who suffers our pain and turns it into a blessing. For the presence of Christ in our lives, we praise God, the provider. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the breath of life, who inspires us when our spirits are dried up, who creates something new when old structures crumble. For the Spirit of hope and renewal, we praise God, the provider. Amen.
Called into unity with one another and the whole creation, let us pray for our shared world. Gracious God, your word has been sown in many ways and in many places. We pray for missionaries and newly planted congregations around the world. Inspire us by their witness to the faith we share. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. Creating God, the mountains and hills burst in song, and the trees and fields clap their hands in praise. We pray for the birds and animals who make their home in the trees, and for lands stripped bare by deforestation. Empower us to sustainably use what you have given. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. Reigning God, we pray for our nation's leaders. Increase their desire for justice and equality. We pray for our enemies. Bridge the chasms that divide us and guide authorities into a deep and lasting peace. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. Abiding God, care for all who are frightened, anxious, running and wishing for death. For those who are doubting, renew faith. For those who are worrying, provide release. For those who are struggling, ease burdens. For those in fear, give hope. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. Renewing God, revive your church in this place. Renew and nurture the seeds you have planted, that we might grow as disciples. Replace what has been depleted. Sustain our ministries. And deepen relationships with the wider community. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. Merciful God, as COVID-19 cases grow and deaths increase, as suffering mounts, we pray your mercy on our afflicted world. We ask for your strength and guidance for all who lead, for all who provide health care, and for all who accompany those who mourn. Grant us your healing and grant us your peace. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. For what else do the people of God pray? Hear us, O God, your mercy is great. Eternal God, we give thanks for all who have died. Comfort us in the sure and certain hope of the resurrection. Hear us, O God, your mercy is great. Receive these prayers, O God, and those too deep for words, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Gathered into one by the Holy Spirit, Let us pray as Jesus taught us. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Receive a blessing. Neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. God the Creator, Jesus the Christ, and the Holy Spirit the Sustainer bless you and keep you now and always.
Angels watching over me.
As God sent angels to care over Elijah in his fear, go forth in the world knowing God has sent angels to watch over you. Go and share the good news. Amen. A couple of brief time-sensitive announcements. As you may know, we were waiting until this week to do some evaluation of what's going on with COVID-19 before we make a determination about opening. So you should know that our council is meeting Wednesday evening to talk about these things, but it's likely that we will stay closed for a few more weeks yet. We will let you know as soon as that council meeting has ended. We'll post on the website and send out something in Thursday Thoughts. Also, this is the last weekend of what would have been our stampede, so we hope the stampede spirit has also been with you as well as God's spirit. And that you have been enjoying this lovely weather, that you've had a chance to get outside to enjoy some barbecue or pancakes outside on your own. And remind you that we have an online Stampede website posted on our website, so you can look for that. It's part silly and part serious. There's something for everyone there. So we hope that you enjoy the spirit of our city in this small way this week. God's grace and peace be with you, as always.